Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
We're turning once again to Mark chapter 5, the story of the marvelous raising of the daughter of Jairus from the dead. You know, of course, that the Lord raised three people who were dead. He raised Jairus' daughter who had only died. She just died shortly before the Lord came to her home and raised her from the dead. Then there was the widow's son, and they were taking him to the graveyard to bury him. So he was dead a day at least. And then there was the man who was the brother of Mary and Martha, and he was dead and buried, and the Lord raised him from the dead. And you see how the Lord was demonstrating his power over death, even death that had taken hold of a person for a number of days. Still the Lord could raise that man from the dead. The wonderful power of the Lord then is demonstrated here. Now in our study so far, if I might just remind you of it, this man Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, he would have been a godly man. One of the very few who held a position in the synagogue, because other times we read of those who were rulers in the synagogue and they were very opposed to the Lord Jesus and they complained about what he said and what he did. But that wasn't so with Jairus, because he believed that the Lord Jesus was the Savior. When his daughter was ill, he came seeking help from the Lord Jesus. But when he came, the Lord immediately began to go with him to his home. But then there was an interruption. And the lady who had the issue of blood quietly had come in behind the Lord and touched the hem of his garment. And he stopped to speak to her. Now, that must have been a trial for Jairus. He would have been in such a state concerning his daughter, and wanting the Savior to come with every speed to his home. And here it was. He made the request, and the Lord said, certainly, and started, and then stopped to deal with this woman. That must have been a test for Jairus. He must have been tempted to tug at the Savior's garments and say, Lord, leave her alone. Come deal with my problem. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And there's something for us to learn there. There's something for us to learn there. And it's this, first and foremost, boys and girls, God's ways are not our ways. And consequently, oftentimes, we want the Lord to do something, and he doesn't seem to do it as we would like him to do it. And when that happens, then we would need to be like Jairus and just patiently wait for the Lord. He didn't complain. He didn't question the Lord dealing with that poor lady. But from what we read, he just patiently stood beside the Lord while the Lord dealt with this lady. And then in the Savior's time, he turned and he went with Jairus to his home to look upon his daughter and see what could be done. Now, there was a further test for poor Jairus. Because when the Savior had blessed the lady and told her, your faith has made you whole, and then turned to Jairus and started to accompany Jairus to his home, someone came from the home and said, don't bother the master anymore, your daughter's dead. It's all over with Jairus. That was a further test. The delay, as the Savior dealt with the lady. Now, the news that the little daughter he had left at home very ill had died even when he had come to seek the Lord Jesus. That was a severe test. That implied a waste of time seeking the Lord. Even as you're seeking him, your daughter dies. But as soon as that news was given to Jairus, we read in verse 36 of Mark chapter 5, and as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. The Lord had a word for Jairus the very instant he heard the bad news. Now, Jairus could have thought to himself, why did the Lord delay and allow my daughter to die? Why did he do that? But you don't read of any such questioning by Jairus. He was a good man. Of that we have no doubt. And he submitted to what the Lord was doing, even though it didn't agree with what he would have liked to have seen the Lord do. He would have liked the Lord to come immediately and heal his daughter, not allow her to die. But she died. And Jairus humbly accepted that, yielded to that, didn't complain. Boys and girls, there's a lovely verse in Isaiah chapter 55. Two verses, actually. Verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And there God teaches us that we think on one level, but God thinks on a much, much higher level. And consequently, we might think certain things should take place, but God acts differently. We should ever remember when that happens that God's thoughts are better than ours. God's thoughts are wiser than ours. God's actions are much more blessed than what we might want him to do. And I think there was something of that spirit in Jairus. He wanted the Lord to come and heal his daughter. But there was this delay and the Lord stopped to deal with a woman. And Jairus must have thought to some degree, the Lord knows what's best. And I'll just say nothing and look to him to intervene in the sad death of my daughter. You know, we're reminded in this passage that we're not the only ones in the world that the Lord has to care for. We sometimes forget that. Jairus was reminded of this. He wasn't the only one with a problem. He wasn't the only one that needed the Lord's blessing. There was this lady. And wisely, Jairus recognized that and therefore didn't demand that the Lord forget about her and deal with my problem. No, he didn't do that. Oh, there's something for us to learn there. You see, the Lord sometimes delays answering our prayers. Jairus came and wanted an immediate answer, naturally. There was urgency about his case. His little daughter was very, very ill, just about to die, he said. Yet the Lord delayed. But the delay was for the good of Jairus, as we learn a little later. And I tell you this, boys and girls, you remember this. Sometimes the Lord answers our prayer. In fact, sometimes he answers before we even ask. But other times, he delays to answer. And there's a reason for it. He wants us to learn certain things. He wants us to understand certain things. And he's teaching us by the delay. You bear that in mind. And when there's not an answer to your prayer right away, you just say, the Lord knows best. The Lord knows best. And he'll work out his purpose in his time, and it will be for my good. It'll be for my good. Well, as it was, the apparently, and I underscore that word, what appeared to be a tragedy, the young girl died. And word comes to Jairus, your daughter is dead. But what appeared to be a tragedy turned out, under the Savior's blessing, an occasion of a greater miracle. The delay with the lady resulted in the young girl dying. And that could have brought utter despair upon the heart and mind of Jairus. But we see that the delay set up an even greater miracle. Because the Lord didn't come and raise the young girl from a sick bed, but he raised her from the dead. That was an even more wonderful miracle. That set that wee lassie apart from all other children. And throughout her life, there would have been those who would have come to her and said, "Listen, tell us what it was like. What happened to you when you were dead?" Oh, there have been so many questions. There's no answers given in the Bible. But she was the source of a wonderful testimony of the power of God throughout her whole day. Oh, I tell you, it was a much more marvelous miracle that took place. And all because the Savior delayed. The Savior delayed. You'll find the same in the story of his raising Lazarus from the dead. Word came to him, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Sister sent that word to him. And it says the Lord delayed. So that when he did turn up at the home of Lazarus, Lazarus was dead. The funeral was over. And that set up an even more wonderful miracle, just like here. Oh, boys and girls, please, don't get discouraged if the Lord doesn't answer your prayer immediately, because he's preparing a more wonderful answer than maybe you were expecting. The Savior said to Jairus when the word came, "Only believe, only believe. Be not afraid." That is the natural reaction. Oh, my daughter's dead. Fear. Fear that he would never again see her. Fear that she would never grow up in his home. Fear of all the things that he had hoped and wished for his daughter would never happen. The Savior said, "Don't be afraid." Oh, remember that, boys and girls. Remember that. Then there's something else. You read in the verse 37 of chapter 5. Would you look at it, please? "And he suffered." Now, remember I told you that word "suffered" means he didn't permit. "He suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James." Why did they not bring the other disciples? Why were they excluded? Matthew and the other apostles. Why were they not allowed to come with the Lord? Why just Peter, James and John? Well, I can't give you a precise answer to that question, but I can tell you this. There are some among God's people who are permitted to see things, experience things, know things that other Christians don't experience, don't know, and don't see. That's just the way it is with God. He allows that to happen for his own purpose. Listen to these words that we read in Paul's writings. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth or clay." Now, you know what Paul means. In your house there are very precious things. Your mum has her china tea set. And in the cupboard where that's kept, there are a whole lot of other expensive, costly, valuable items that don't often get used because they're so valuable. But also, your mum has an old scrubbing brush tucked away under the sink. And there's an old mop in the corner. Now, there's a difference between the value that is placed upon the china tea set and the scrubbing brush. But what would a house be like if Mum didn't have a mop and a scrubbing brush? After a while, there'd be nothing but dirty marks all over the place, which you probably have left. So, even though the mop and the scrubbing brush doesn't carry the same beauty and preciousness as the china tea set, they're very useful. Very useful. And they do more than the china tea set, as it usually is the case. Well, likewise, in the house of God, there are scrubbing brushes as well as china tea sets. I'm a sort of a scrubbing brush. I come and rub you the wrong way and scrub at you. But you see the point. The Lord didn't take all of the apostles with him, just Peter, James and John, because it pleased the Lord to bring them into that house and cause them to see and to witness what the other apostles didn't. And likewise, boys and girls, as you grow older, you know that there is among the people of God those who get to see things, do things, that others don't. But that doesn't mean that they're more important in the cause of God than those like Matthew and all the other apostles who were left outside. No. It just pleased the Lord to show Peter and James and John. That happened once before, at least. You remember when they were up the mountain and the Lord was transfigured? Well, not all of the apostles saw that. There is that distinction then, and we must ever bear that in mind, boys and girls. You will notice also that the mourners who were there were also not allowed to see the miracle take place. Look at what we read. Verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Neighbours, family, friends. And there was a great wailing and weeping, because this was a particular tragedy. A young girl. Wasn't an elderly person who had lived their life, but a young girl, only 12. And there was a great weeping and wailing. I can see neighbours hugging the mother. And maybe there were other members of the family, maybe there were brothers and sisters, and they were hugging them and weeping and lamenting. They were making a tumult, it says, verse 38. Now that word tumult, that suggests something that's unseemly. If you were making a tumult here in the school, you'd be behaving badly. You'd be making a noise and a racket that wasn't right, and the teacher would scold you. And boys and girls, let me tell you this. At funeral times, often, people make more noise and more lamenting than is proper. I have experienced funerals of loved ones, and I never felt like making a tumult. I never felt like holding up my hands and howling, but I'm thankful to be able to say that when those funerals took place, I had within my heart a peace and a comfort and a joy, because I knew my loved one had gone to heaven. Now, why would I complain about that? Oh, I naturally missed them. But the missing of them was offset by the fact that they had entered into the presence of the Lord and were enjoying such delight that I couldn't explain or understand. Therefore, the sorrow that came with their death was overruled by the joy of where they had gone. And that's why the Lord called what was going on in that home a tumult, and he wasn't pleased about it. Verse 39, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They never thought of that. They never thought of what had happened to the girl when she died. The Savior calls it asleep, because you see, I believe this young lassie was saved, I'm sure of it. And death was just asleep. Last night you went up to bed, and you went to sleep, and you slept, I hope, all night. And then this morning, you got up with the sun, maybe a wee while before the sun. Well, that's how it is with a Christian. At the end of their life, they fall asleep in Jesus. But there's a morning coming when he will call us out of death, and we will be alive forevermore. And that knowledge should prevail, overrule, override every thought, every grief, every sorrow when the Christian dies. So that's what the Savior said. Now, it's very interesting what the reaction of the people was. It says in verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. There are many in the world who laugh at the idea of one day the resurrection of Christians. There are many who laugh at what the Savior says. Are you among them? Are you among them? Oh, maybe you suppress a laughing, but you still don't believe the Lord, just like these people. You don't believe what he says. You're not saved because you don't believe what he says about your need of being saved. You don't laugh altogether. But you do the same. You turn your back on the message of the gospel and reject it. And there's not much difference in doing that than what these people did when they laughed Well, as a result of their unbelief and their laughing, what did the Savior do? Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, their laughter barred them from seeing the miracle of God raising that young girl from the dead. Their laughter denied them what Peter, James, and John saw. Listen, you laugh at God's word, and it'll cost you. You'll be put out. You'll be barred from the presence of the Lord's mighty power. You think on that. I'll close by saying this, but there wasn't just James and John and Peter who witnessed this miracle. But we're told, verse 40, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, the three apostles, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And they took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Mom and Dad saw it. Why? Because Mom and Dad were believers. Jairus was a believer. He came and said, Lord, if you come, you can heal my daughter. He believed in the power of the Lord. And I have no doubt that Mom at home, who would have urged him to go and seek the help of the Savior, was also a believer. And they were brought in to see their daughter raised from the dead. But mums and dads who pray today are allowed to see the same miracle. Because boys and girls were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, we are dead in our sins. And when mum and dad talks about you getting saved, they're asking God to raise you from that state of spiritual deadness. The day and the hour you're converted, they witness a resurrection. They witness you rising up, turning your back on the sinful life you had been living, and starting to walk with God. Oh, I tell you, the mother and the fathers of faith are allowed to witness miracles just like this mother and father in the raising of their children from sin. Tell me, have you been raised from your sin? Are you still lying in your sins, rejecting the gospel? Oh, may God speak to your heart today. May you hear him calling you, as that young girl miraculously heard the voice of the Lord speak to her, as she would have felt his hand take her hand. May you know that today. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased to bless your word to the hearts of boys and girls. Give them understanding, Lord. Give them understanding. Oh, those who are not saved, work that grace in them, Lord, that is here demonstrated in this wonderful miracle. Bless the school. Grant your grace for Jesus' sake. Amen.